Let's begin a little bit. So tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. I always get a little bit of anxiety when we move away from the Piagets, no? Because how can you ever move away from the Piagets, no? But I figured that also, it's amazing to think that in just a little bit more than a week from now, Emir Hashem is the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And the Sfasem is together, it tells us that one's appreciation of any spiritual experience is directly commensurate with the amount of preparation they do for it. Now, it's true with anything else in life, right? The more preparation you put into something, the more you appreciate the event, or the more impactful and meaningful the event is. And I find that often what happens with our Yiddishkeit is because, you know, we're kind of doing the same things all of the time, sometimes we don't prepare. Kind of roll into things religiously. And when you roll into something religiously, you miss out. You could observe, but you miss out on the profundity. So I'd like to spend the next 2 weeks, well, for sure tonight, we'll see. I don't know if I get there from the Piagets in the next week also, but at least tonight to share with you a beautiful insight. It's actually not exactly on Hanukkah, but you're going to see how it ties in so beautifully. This is from, after the Piagets, no? My second favorite day, from all my favorite Svarim, is a set of Svarim called Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Bilvavi, is this series is written by a Mechaber Neretz Yisrael of Itamar Schwartz. An incredible, incredible individual. Someone who is wise and profound. And in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, in this series, he goes through pretty much every single topic in Yiddishkeit. And you'll see his style is so simple and so straightforward, yet it's incredibly profound, deep, and meaningful. So I want to draw your attention, and the funny part is I stumbled upon this totally, totally by accident. I told you we're starting another Chabura now, Baruch Hashem, for some of the young guys. I don't know who's considered the young guy anymore. All I know is that I'm not a young guy. You're for sure not. I wasn't even talking to you. I was looking in your direction. So the Sefer I'm going to learn with them is Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, is this Sefer. And so I was looking actually for something different, and then I came across this Maimer. I came across this piece, and I said, oh, it's Hashkocha that I found this, because it fits right in, you'll see, into the beautiful message of Chanukah. So I will say, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, kind of the overarching question. First of all, I'm sorry, I forgot to thank Reb Tzvi for the beautiful spread in front of us tonight. Incredibly, Yashar Koach, and thank you. And thank you. Also a tremendous thank you to Scott Gordon for dedicating the scotch and the bourbon tonight in memory of his cousin. Scott, what's the name?
Irene Bacharach. Chaya Rezel Bas Miyomi.
We hope to have the merit of our brachas, of our zmiras, Mirat Hashem, of our learning, Mirat Hashem, the Nisham Shav and Ali and the family in the Chama. And of course, a very special thank you to Reb Steve, you know, our Gabbai, our Mashke Gabbai. And we did miss him last week, although he got quite the Lechaim, Baruch Hashem, from last week. You heard it. And Reb Steve, Mazel Tov, and the Chassan and Kalo, Baruch Hashem, and welcome back. We missed you. We miss Baruch Hashem, for you should always be absent for Shir, for Simchas, and beautiful, beautiful Besoros Novos. Shabbos, say, look at this piece. So when it comes to Chanukah, let me just say this outside. When it comes to Chanukah, one of the most intriguing parts about Chanukah is the fact that, remember, what's the dominant miraculous aspect of Chanukah? The dominant miracle?
Heaven now.
Right? The Pach Shemen. Right? The Pach Shemen. Right? The cruse of oil. Right, you have one little jug of oil that lasted 8 days. And I will say, it's always intriguing, and much rabbinic literature has been written about this throughout the ages. There's a much bigger miracle than the miracle of the oil. And of course, that's the miracle of the military victory. The fact that the Chashmonaim, right, a small little army made up of Kohanim, a small little army made up of a couple of Jews who weren't experienced in any real form of warfare, go up against the mightiest army on the civilized earth. The Syrian Greeks were the mightiest army. And yet, there was this incredible, incredible miracle. We say it in davening. We say, Rabbi Miyad Biad Ma'atma, Hashem placed the many in the hands of the few. But when you look at the Nes of Hanukkah, it's really the menorah. It's really the little jug of oil that gets all of the attention. Right? That becomes the centerpiece of our observance. In fact, the only way in which the military victory even figures into the Yom Tov is that we make mention of it during davening. But aside from that, it doesn't play a role. Aside from that, again, it's a mention, but it doesn't show up anywhere, so to speak, in the observance. In the observance. You know, if you think about it, as opposed to, let's say, Pesach, where there are many miracles that happened on Pesach, one of the things is we're freed from Egyptian servitude. So much of Pesach is reliving that experience of freedom, of exodus. And yet here on Hanukkah, really nothing is devoted to the military victory. Everything is about the Pach Shemen. Everything is about the little jug of oil that lasted for 8 days. So, of course, the Shaila is why? Why does all of the attention go to the jug of oil and none of it goes to what appears to be the more dominant miracle of the military victory? Now, of course, we know how to answer it. How do we answer it? Because, obviously, the miracle of the oil is the dominant miracle of Hanukkah. That's the dominant miracle. The Shaila is why? So I want to show you this incredible piece. So here the Mechaber writes as follows. The topic over here, he says, the title is Shemen Zayis Zoch Kasis Lama'ar, page Kuf Samiches. So I want to say, again, there are plenty of sheets. If anyone needs plenty of sheets. You only get chicken if you look inside the sheet. That's the way it works. Right? Otherwise, we have to pay. Otherwise, you have to pay. I'm just saying. So I'll say, so it's interesting to note this as follows. So the title over here, again, I want to point out, this particular essay is not on Hanukkah. This particular Chad, you don't do anything. Pass it back to Ellie. Yeah. Right. This particular essay doesn't have to do with Hanukkah. This particular essay has to do with the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And what the Mechaber points out over here is like this. The Pasuk says, V'ikhui lecha shemen zayis zoch kasis lama'ar. The Pasuk says that for the menorah, you can't use any regular oil, but rather, again, you have to use pure olive oil. Literally, again, shemen zayis zoch, we translate this today as virgin olive oil. Virgin olive oil. For the Beis HaMikdash, you crush the olives, and only the first oil that came out, that was used for the menorah. Now, interestingly enough, the Pasuk says, Shemen Zayis Zoch, so pure olive oil, Kasis. Kasis means crushed. Crushed. That's to be crushed, and that's ultimately, again, used for the menorah. So what I'll point out to you something very interesting, if you think about it. So remember, again, we know by Hanukkah, the mitzvah is to use oil. Right? In other words, you could be Yotzei the mitzvah, you can fulfill the obligation with candles, that can be done, but ideally, one should really use oil. That's the goal. So look at the Mechaber says, Amr Chazal, Amr Rabbi Yitzchok, Harotze Sheyachkim Yadrim. We'll say if a person wants to go ahead and become wise, what should he do? Yadrim. Yadrim means he should daven towards or orient himself towards the south. The south. Why? V'simanach menorah b'darom. What's the symbolism of this? The menorah was situated in the south of the Beis HaMikdash, in the direction of the south in the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah represents wisdom. We'll discuss this a little bit more. Therefore, if a person wants wisdom in life, yadrim, he should daven towards the south. Orient yourself towards the south. Kol ba seichel yasha yaskim, shelo yitachin shekol asaga sachachma teluya be'ezet sata adam omid. So we'll say, it goes without saying, standing in the south is not going to make you smart. Right? In other words, every person realizes that just by standing in the same direction of the menorah, that's not going to endow me with wisdom. Elo omek divrei chazal kachu. Rather, I will say, what are Chazal trying to teach us? Listen to this. Harotze lahachkim, azay hatalich she'avar ha-shemen ad she'haya roi la'alokas b'menorah, kach ala adam la'avor talich domet l'zeh. Shabbosi, listen to what the Mechaber says. Mechaber says, what are Chazal trying to teach us? That if a person wants wisdom in life, you have to go through the same process that the oil goes through in order to be fit for use in the menorah. If you want to be wise in life, you have to go through the same process the oil goes through in order to be usable for the menorah. What's the process the oil goes through? Kach ala adam lar umma talich sha'avar ha-shemen. What does oil have to go through in order to be usable in the menorah? Kosis. One word. Kosis. What does kosis mean? Kitisha. Crushed. Crushed. Right? In other words, in order to get oil, you have to crush olives. You have to crush olives. And if you don't crush the olives, so says the Mechaber here, that's the Chazal teaching us. You want wisdom? Yadrim. Orient yourself to the south. It can't be just a directional issue, but rather if you want wisdom in life, you have to undergo the same process that the oil undergoes in order to be fit for use in the menorah. What's the process of the oil? The olives are crushed. That's how you get oil. Ato nitzrach lahavin, maya ketisha sha'adam sarach lahavar. So we'll say, so now we have to understand, what does this mean? What's the crushing process that we have to go ahead and go through in order to acquire life wisdom? I will say, I just found this to be, I saw this morning, and the truth is, I'm going to be honest with you, like, I had difficulty focusing on anything else after I saw this piece. And the reason you're going to see is because, and again, for those of you, Rameir and I used to learn Bilvavi, right? So you'll see, those of you who've never learned this sefer, so you'll see again, the style is very simple, but the profundity is, and you'll look what the Mechaber says. So first he quotes over here, the Mesilas Yesharim. It's always also very exciting when two of your favorite people meet up at the same shir. Right, so again, the Mechaber here, Behari, Tamar Schwartz, the Mechal, favorite people, Amir Hashem, just in a few weeks from now. What is it? 2 months? When are we going to Eretz Yisrael? A little less than 2 months from now, Amir Hashem, our first shir in Eretz Yisrael is going to be by the Kever of the Ramchal. Amir Hashem, incredible stuff ahead. So look what he writes. L'shem berer hadvarim naktim lahavi estibra mesilas yisharim. Listen to this. So therefore, the Mechaber writes as follows. So let's look at the words of the Ramchal. Look what Ramchal says. Ad sheyidmu rov b'nei adam shachasidus tali ba'amiros. Mr. Rabosei, I just want to point out. Now we're going to go on a little bit of a tangent. So we know what the question is, right? Chazal are telling us you want wisdom? Yadrim. Orient yourself in the position, in the direction of the menorah. Writes Bilvavi, come on, that doesn't mean you stand in the south, you become wise. No, rather, what does it mean? If you want to become wise, you have to subject yourself to the same process the oil is subjected in order to be able to be used for the menorah. What's the process of the oil? The oil is crushed. The olives are crushed. Okay, so now look what he writes. The Ramchal writes over here as follows. Atshidnu rov b'nei adam shachasidus tali ba'amiras mizmorim harbe, viduyim aruchim ma'ot, somos kashim, tvilos kerach v'shelek. So let's listen to this. This is from the introduction of Mesilas Yesharim. So the Ramchal writes, people often think that the pathway to piety is paved with like extreme self-punishing ascetic behaviors, right? Davening a lot, very long confessions, difficult fasts, immersing yourself in the snow and in the ice, right? All of these things, this is the pathway to piety. And the Ramchal writes, Kulam dvar ma'in she'en asher ena seichel noach bahem, ve'en adash shoketa. So Ramchal says, I'll tell you what this stuff is. This is stuff that doesn't make much sense. Right? The Ramchal says again, these are things that the seichel, they don't satisfy the mind. And it doesn't give a person a sense of tranquility. The Ramchal writes, and the truth is, and here's what's amazing, real piety is often very different than the way we imagine piety. So what the Ramchal is pointing out over here is that often the way we imagine piety is piety through privation. Right? Piety through self-flagellation. Piety through asceticism. What does it mean to be pious? Well, to be pious, I have to deprive myself. Now, by the way, that's not false, right? We're learning now, the Midah of Precious. Right? Midah of Precious means that even some things that are permitted, you shouldn't have. So there is a concept like that, but that's not the be-all, end-all of piety. He goes on. Lamadu midivya misyan sisharam shakatisha lugov kitsomos kashim utvilas kerach vashalag lozu ikrakatisha nirtis. Shabbosai, you see, one would be tempted to say as follows. One would be tempted to say, if we go with this idea that at the end of the day, the person, just like the olives require crushing in order to produce the oil, right, to burn in the menorah, so too a person needs to undergo upright the process of crushing in order to go ahead and reach a level of wisdom and piety, right? So I will say, if that were true, then what Ramchal is describing is the antithesis of that. In other words, when we think about Ketisha, person thinks about, again, the act of crushing. It sounds like something that's punishing, right? Sounds like so. You're good?
I just like space.
Oh, you want space.
I'm good.
Right. Got it. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem.
Got it.
Good, all good. You can also take off your coat, Chad. Remember, just give yourself a little bit of air. All right, good. Listen, if you did catch COVID, you have it already, right? So it's done. In other words, whatever you're going to get, you got. So what's interesting to note is as follows. So the Mechaber explains that we often think that Ketisha refers to like some type of self-punishing behavior. But on the other hand, Ramchal himself says that self-punishing behavior, that's not Chassidus, right? That's the antithesis of Chassidus. If that's the case, says the Ramchal, then at the end of the day, what is the Ketisha? Right? Ultimately, again, what is the crushing that we're talking about? So Ramchal says as follows. So I'm sorry, the Mechaber goes on. He says as follows. Dvarim berurim bazeh, maya Ketisha nirtis, matzina bedivri hagra, ba'igirasa yidua. So let's listen to this. In Igeras Hagra, he writes as follows. V'zel shono, va'ad yom oso, tzarech ha'adam lehis yaser. Right, they will say, until the day of a person's death, a person has to afflict himself. Well, look what he writes. Lo betanos visigufim, but not with fast days and self-affliction. Rak beresen piv v'ta'avaso. So what's I have to tell you? This phrase, beresen piv v'ta'avaso, I looked up this phrase everywhere. Taiva means desire. Resen piv. What does resen piv mean? So I looked everywhere for this. Finally, I had to do the thing that I never do, which is, I called an Israeli. I called Mati. And the reason you don't do that is because Israelis always make you feel foolish, right? When you don't know something. Although Mati was good, he didn't do that. And I said, so there's no art scroll on Bill Bobby. So I said, what's Res and Piv? So I felt very validated because he said, send me the whole sentence. Yeah. So I felt already, it's not... So I will say, resen piv is like a bit that an animal has. So like if you have a horse, right? So the horse that has the reins, right? The reins are around the mouth. So what happens? The bit is what you pull back on, right? Or you pull back on the reins, right? And then again, that pulls the bit and that pulls the animal back. So resen piv ta'avosav means, says the Gra, is restraining oneself from one's taivas, from one's desires. And listen to this lashon. So the Gra says that at the end of the day, a person has to afflict himself until the day of his death. What's the affliction? Now it can't be the affliction of fast days. It can't be the affliction of you know immersing in the snow or in the ice. That already the Ramchal said that's not chassidus. So says the Gra, what's the affliction man has to subject himself to? To ultimately restraining his desires. Right? Pulling back on the bit. Pulling back. Not indulging every single want, whim, and desire. Finding the strength to pull myself back, restraining myself from taking part in my taivas, in my desires. I'm sorry? Is it correct. Kovich, excellent. We're going to see, he's going to quote that idea as well. Ulam, hosif agro, bermai ketisha nirtis, lisyase beresen pivet ha'avaso. Ato page kuf samach tes ato laacher shezbar maya ketisha sheinene ikaris maketisha ikaris ninase lahasbir ulevair madua ketusha zu eineno ikaris umadia ketusha zu ikaris. So now what we have is follows. So let's trace the progression, right? So Chazal telling us that if you want to be wise, what do you do? Yadrim, go to the south. Why? Because the menorah is in the south. Says the Mechaber, come on, what does it mean? Stand in the south, you get wise? No. Rather, what does it mean? If you want life wisdom, you have to subject yourself to the same process that the oil is subjected to in order to be used in the menorah. What's the process to make the oil usable? Crushing. So what type of crushing are we talking about? That a person has to allow themselves to be crushed? So there's two types of crushing. There's ascetic, self-flagellative, if that's a word, right? Self-punishing crushing, where I deprive myself, I hurt myself, I make my physical life miserable, right? I fast, this, that. And the Ramchal says, no, that can't be it, because that's not real chassidus. So the Gra says, there's another type of crushing. That's the crushing of restraint. That's the crushing feeling that I know when there's something I really want to do. There's a pleasure I really want to have. There's a taiva I really want to indulge. But I pull back the reins. I pull back the reins and I prevent myself from going down that road of that negative or illicit desire. It's not that I don't want it. I want it. And I want it badly. Right? I'm not on the level where like I don't have these desires. I'm not on the level where I could rationally say, no, it's not good for me. I want it. But I still find the ability. Right? I crush that desire by pulling back on the bit, by pulling back on the reins and restraining myself. Look what the Mechaber says. We'll say one more piece. Kasa Mesilas Yesharim. The Mechaber goes on. He says, Mesilas Yesharim says, Vine, this is incredible, we'll say, Samo HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'makom Sherabim Bo HaMeruchu Meruchakim Omenu Oso Mimenu Yisparach. The Mechaber will say, chapter 1 of Mesilas Yesharim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a place where there are many things that distance us from Him. What's the name of that place called? Earth, right? The world. Hashem put us in a world where we're filled with so many beautiful things and so many things which distance us from Hashem. Be'ofen klali, let's listen to this. So what are those things? So be'ofen klali, I will say, by the way, you have to admit, if you've never seen this, isn't the Hebrew is beautiful, right? The Lashon is beautiful. It flows so nicely. It says, be'ofen klali, yesh beis dvarim shemarchikim es adon nibaro. If you think about it in general sense, there are two things which distance us from Hashem. Aleph, gufo. Rabbi says, very interesting. He says, the body. Rabbi says, this is not even talking about sinning with the body. This is just having a body. Right? Having a body, by definition, distances you from Hashem. Why? Because I'm physical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. So by definition, there's a barrier. There's a barrier. That's why when a person dies, the neshama goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does the Rambam describe Olam Haba? How does the Rambam describe it? The Rambam says, Tzadikim Yoshvim, Va'ataroseim Barashim, the righteous sit, their crowns are on their head, V'nenem Iziv HaShchinah, they derive benefit from the Shekhinah. What's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is there's no separation between you and God. That's Olam Haba. I'm one with my Father. I'm one with my Creator. What's Olam Hazeh? By definition, no matter how holy or pious I am, there's always a separation. A de facto separation, because I am a physical, finite being, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't. So number one barrier, number one marchik distance, or is a body. Beis, tavis uritzonos shedivuki benafsho. But I will say, what else distances us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Our desires. Taiva is a desire. Ritzonos, wants, that ultimately cling to my soul. But I will say, if you notice, by the way, the Lashon he uses, he doesn't say desires and wants that cling to what? To the body. He says that cling to the soul. Why? Because it's so deep. It's so profound. Nevar hadvarim. Here we go. Let's explain this. Haguf shala adam hamechitza gidola. Just a body itself is a partition, is a barrier between us and Hashem. Obishosh haguf mafzik lachzos ben adon lebaro. He'll go and base piti raso shala adam. I will say, when the body ceases to be a barrier. For example, when a person dies, so ask Siv v'haruach tashuv ela elokim asher nesana. Shabbos said, what happens when you die? The body barrier goes away. What happens when the body barrier goes away? One is automatically close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So the body barrier, after it ceases, it stops. That barrier is gone. The almost like default that occurs is not default, but like automatic reaction, body is gone. Neshama goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what happens. There's no barrier. Kilomar, kolzman sha'aruach ha'neshama nisis b'soch ha'guf, ha'guf ma'hava mechitza bein ha'neshama la'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi said, this is such an incredible idea. What the Mechaber is saying over here is, the body itself just creates an automatic barrier. Not a function of sin. It's not a function of sin. It's not a function of a misuse of physicality. It's just a de facto state of reality. If you have a body, there's a mechitza, right? There's a barrier. By the way, I want to point out, it's not good, it's not bad. It just is. Person dies, the body no longer houses the neshama, that barrier is gone. Once the barrier is gone, person automatically goes back to the neshama, goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chtei levatel mechitza zu o b'chiyus shal adam, haderech lazeh aydei sigufim v'ta'anios u'tvilas karev shas. So here's the question. Can you negate or take down the body barrier during lifetime? Can you do that? So the Mechaber says, yeah, you could do that. How do you do it? by crushing the body, by essentially sublimating the body, right? By pushing the body down. How do you push the body down? So that's the fast days. That's the immersing in snow, immersing in ice, right? What you're essentially, by beating down the body, we'll say, I'll just point out something. The Maral brings down, do you know when a person is holiest, and if they're in their holiest moment in this world? When is a person holiest? What would you say? Yom Kippur, good. What else? Purim. I knew you were going to say that, by the way. Yeah. Purim. At birth, good. When they get married, beautiful. Deep in tefillah. Chassidus shir, excellent. Right? I know, it's good, it's good, it's good. He'll say, you know what the Maral says? Going to mikvah, beautiful. Sleeping, good. Can't get yourself into trouble, right? Right. No. And also, because the body is like in sleep mode, literally in sleep mode.
And the Shema leaves the body.
Yeah. So let's listen to this. The Maral says, no, it's when you're sick. It's when you're sick. Why? Listen to this. What I'm saying. When you're sick, the body is compromised. When the body is compromised, the soul is stronger. Which now makes so much sense. Because when the body is compromised, see, both say, we often think of holiness as a function of something I'm doing. What we have to realize is the neshama itself is kadosh. The neshama is holy. But I have a body barrier. So the body barrier, by definition, prevents the neshama from coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because it's a body. It's physical and it's finite. The Maral says when a person is sick and the physicality is compromised, see, I can't do anything, right? I'm sick, I'm in bed. It's not a function of you doing anything. It's a function of the body barrier being weakened. So by definition, the soul is stronger. When the barrier is weaker, the soul is stronger. So the Mechaber says over here, he says, you could go ahead and overcome the body barrier. You just have to punish the body, right? That's what you do. You punish the body, right? You beat the body down. Ulam, einzo ikra tachlis. But what he writes, that's not our goal. The goal is not to punish the body, right? That's not the goal.
It's still focusing on the physical, though.
Right. Hold on. Look what he writes. Mechivan shaguf ben kach u ben kach levasof yufrad min aguf. So let's listen to what he says. He says at the end of the day, right, the body's going to go away, right? In other words, it's true. The body is a barrier. But it's going to go away, right? In other words, the body is not going to be a barrier forever. So at a certain point in time, that barrier simply falls down, and the neshama is able to spring up. Now again, when does that happen for everyone? After death. So the Mechaber says, there's no need to spend my energies beating down that body barrier. That's not what it's about. That will be taken care of on its own. Listen to this. Baram, ikra mechitza sheba adam tzarech lashki es ikra avod l'salka. And I will say, by the way, just so you understand, that's why the Ramchal writes that chassidus is not self-punishing behavior. Because that svar of self-punishing behavior assumes that the most important barrier a person has to take down in life is the body barrier. The Mechaber Bilvavi is over here is saying that's not the most important barrier. Really, it's the Gros saying it's not the most important barrier. Why? That barrier goes away on its own. Right? You don't have to worry about that. Life will take away that barrier. So what's the barrier I have to work on? He says, listen to this. Ikra Mechitza Sheba Adam Tzarech Lashkias Ikra Avodos Asalka Hitavas Uritzonos Shedivukim Binafsho. See, I will say ultimately again the Lashon of the Gra. The Lashon of Mesilas Sharm, excuse me, is a person has to take care of those things, those tivas, those desires, those wants that are clinging to my soul. What does that phrase mean? Kitavas Uritzonos Elu Shal Gashmius. I will say, get ready for this. The desires, right? The desires and the wants we have for physical things. Imlo yisal kimimenu. If I do not somehow control them and try to rid myself of them, gam la'achar moso yisharu devukim benafsho. Wow. See, Rabbi Osei, the power over here says the Mechaber, is your physical wants and desires, they almost like embed themselves on your neshama. So that if I don't take care of them during my lifetime, they become part of my neshama even after my death. Rabbi said, do you understand what we're learning over here tonight? See, the Mechaber says over here, everyone's focused on the body, the body, the body, the body. Right? As if the body is its own self-contained independent problem. The answer is, it is. But what's the good part about that problem? Right? What's the good part about that problem? It's going to go away. Right? And it goes away faster than you realize, right? When does the body go away? After 120, if a person's lucky, right? The neshama is eternal. So the neshama has a 120-year body partition problem. No problem. Once after 120, the body's gone. The body's gone. True, you could go ahead and bring down the body partition by beating up the body, by afflicting the body, but that's not our avoda. Our avoda is something much more nuanced and much more profound. Our avoda is to rein in our wants and desires. Because those are the things, those types. I will say, by the way, when he talks about wants and desires, this covers a whole gamut of things, right? We all want things that are not good for us, right? Some of us want material things that are not good for us. Some of us want immoral things that are not good for us. So we all want something that's not good for us. Those are my taivas. Those are my desires. That's my ratzon. And says the Mechaber, if I do not take care of those things, if I die, or when I die, and if I have not resolved those things, they are forever part of forever. They are part of the fabric of my neshama. They don't go away with the body. They imprint on the neshama. They become embedded on the neshama. And they remain with me. Ukimo shekasev Rabbeinu Yonah. Listen to this. Vida ki nefesh harasha asher kol ta'avosa lechavtse aguf b'chayov. So Rabbi said, look what he quotes over Rabbeinu Yonah. Getting everyone tonight. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Gra, the Ramchal. Vida ki nefesh harasha asher kol ta'avosa lechavtse aguf b'chayov. Rabbi said, right? What does the Rasha want? All the Russia wants is to satisfy his physical desires. That's all he wants. The way Rabbeinu Yonah describes a Baal Taiva who dies with his Taivas intact, not having taken care of his desires, he goes down, he descends, Lamakom Ta'avasa. He goes back, he descends to the place of his death, which means what? Says Mecham, means what? That if I don't take care of reining in my taivas and my ritzonos, my negative wants and desires, they become part of my neshama even after 120. And my neshama is tarnished by that. My neshama is damaged by that. Even though the body barrier is gone, those taivas that have not been dealt with descend or ascend with me as part of me. Nimsa. Therefore, it turns out that a person who is still totally focused on his desire, material desires, I just want to be clear, material desires doesn't just mean like we think about gashmius, like physical possessions. Gashmius in this context means my desire for anything physical. So again, it could be something immoral, it could be something material, it could be anything. Lo yuchala los legan eden, uli dabik bevaro li olam, Ad asher yasuri menu hatavas bekaf akola. Supposed to listen to this. So it turns out that a person who dies with unresolved desires, with unresolved taivas, those taivas become part of his neshama. So we'll say, what happens now when he dies? There is now a barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't ascend to Gan Eden. Why can't he ascend to Gan Eden? Because he has a barrier. Not the body barrier, because the body barrier is gone. He's got the taiva, the desire barrier. He goes on. Ulekach, ikar avodaso shala adam lahasre menu koratzon to shuka leinyane achomios. Bichdesh yuchali doy baro says, here we get into it, right? Here we get into it. So therefore, it turns out that a person's entire, his entire avoda is to remove the desires for physicality in order to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yabo said, it's such a different way of looking at this. So it's nothing new to say that I have to rein in my desires. I knew that before I came to Shirol, so I knew that. Then Yabo said, I understand why. Because if I don't get a handle on this, and I die in this state, then there is forever. I shouldn't use the word forever. There is a barrier between my neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it turns out that what's my ikar avoda? This is incredible. My ikar avoda is not to beat down the body. You know, why don't I have to beat down the body? Why not?
It's gone after all.
Death takes care of that. Don't worry about the body. Death will take care of your body. Right? Death takes away that barrier. My avoda in life is to take away the other barriers that could follow me into the afterlife. What are those barriers? My taivas. My desires. He goes on to
say, all taivas or just taivas that one acts on?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Everything. Now, we're going to... Correct.
It's not just... go back if we say...
Wait, give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. Let me finish this up and then we're going to... Because you'll see, it'll make a lot more sense when we finish out the entire piece. He says, Mishum kach, ein ikar ha'avod b'ta'anios ha'sigov sh'mavat l'magof. But say, now I understand it. I understand it. My avoda is not to beat down the body. I don't have to spend my time beating down the body. Why not? Death takes care of it, right? I don't have to do that. In other words, I don't have to do something that's a de facto reality anyways. I don't have to beat down the body. So what's my job? Ella, beresen pivot ha'avaso. My avoda ultimately, again, to pull back the bit. Live a life of restraint. Hold back. I know I want it. I want it badly, whatever the it is. I also know that I shouldn't have it. Intellectually, can't overcome this. But the question is, do I want to leave this world with a barrier between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shebazeh mevatel kol rotzon etashuk l'gashmius ad shenafsho ein la'ela rotzon l'ruchnius v'az b'tiv'ah dafka, turn the page, be'alyonim shim ruchniim u'miyad b'mosah shetetzim mechitzas haguf ba'ofen tivi ye'mushba b'gan eden kimo shekasov v'haysa nefesh adoni tzura b'tzara chayim es Hashem l'kach. Supposed to listen to this. And then we're just going to do this last part. Supposed to listen to this. So the Mechaber is explaining something absolutely amazing, which is, my avoda is not to beat down the body. Death takes care of the body. My avoda, pull back on the bit. I don't know if that's the right expression, but maybe it's pull back on the bridle, right? So pull back on, we'll say the whole, and what the imagery, right? The horse just wants to gallop full speed. The rider says, whoa, hold up, where are you going? So we'll say, how much of life is like that? I am, when I set my eyes on something, it's not good for me, but boy, oh boy, do I want that, right? Full speed ahead. I have one avoda in life, as I am speeding towards that thing that I should not do, pull back the reins. Pull it back. Rein it in. So look what he writes. He says, la'achar. Go say page kuf ayin. Give me a second. So let me just finish up. If it's quick, go ahead. Quick.
Well, I'm still grappling a little with the thing about when your person's sick, that's when they're closest to Hashem. I always think like when you're sick, it's hard to daven. It's hard to learn.
So it's good you came. You've been wrong your whole life. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, I'm so happy that I'm here to help you. I'll tell you why. No. I'm all kidding aside. You're saying good. No. I'll tell you why. Because we often think, and you're saying so good, we often think that Kiddusha is a function of something you do. And it's not true. Kiddusha is a de facto state of who you are. Right? That's why when a person is born, they're Kadosh. Right? If Kiddusha was a function of spiritual accomplishment, then a baby who would be born is what? Is what? What's a baby?
No Kiddusha.
Nothing. Just like a tabula rasa, nothing. But yet a baby is Kadosh. There's an inherent, and what we saw is bringing up is such an important point. We think Kiddusha means, what did you do to make yourself Kadosh? That is true, but there's a certain elementary level of Kiddusha that exists as well. My de facto state is I'm Kadosh. Why am I Kadosh? Because I have a neshama. What's my problem? My problem is I have a body barrier, and I don't rein in my desires. So when you're sick, what happens? The body barrier, by definition, is weakened, because the body is weakened. And generally, when a person is sick, they're not succumbing to their desires. So if you remove those two things, essentially what you're now in is your de facto state. And what's the de facto state of a yid? The de facto state? It's Kiddusha. So I agree with you. It's an incredible chiddush and different than the way we think. But how incredible is it to realize, you know, we spend our lives trying to become holy. And in our minds, right, I think I'm not holy. I'm unholy. And now I have to become holy. And meanwhile, it's not true. I'm holy. I have to stop acting unholy. I have to stop throwing up barriers. I have to stop just, you know, careening towards those taivas and pull myself back. And if I could just hold it back, the Kiddusha comes out. You obviously have to do additional positive stuff also to bring that out. but it's the de facto state of man. And that's the mechaber single beer also. That's why when you die and the body barrier is gone, then the neshama is good to go. The only problem is if I have unresolved taivas. We'll say, right, we all walk around with unresolved stuff. Now I come to realize, right, Dr. Solomon, right, now there's a new level of unresolved stuff. There's unresolved trauma, unresolved grief, and now there's unresolved taiva. Unresolved taiva. The difference is unresolved trauma, unresolved grief will not keep you out of Gan Eden, right? But at the end of the day, unresolved taivas will keep you out of Gan Eden. So we'll say, let's bring this full circle. Look what he says. Li'acher, shebirar numaya katisha. After we have clarified, ultimately, again, what is this crushing? So listen to this. So now, Bosei, he doesn't say it explicitly, but now you can understand. Let's go back for just a second. Let's go back. So, right, what did the Gemara say? If a person wants wisdom, what do you do? What do you do? Yadrim, go to the south. Right, what does it mean, go to the south? What does it mean, go to the south? Subject yourself to the same process that the oil goes through in order to kindle the menorah. What does the oil go through? Right, crush. Bosei, so now I understand. What does it mean? What do I have to crush? What do I have to crush?
Desires.
Taivas. Here's what I want to point out. No one ever reaches, I shouldn't say no one, maybe there are people. Us regular people are usually not going to reach a level where I obliterate my desires. And that's why the Gra says, right, the Vilna Gaon we quoted before, the job, my avoda, is not to go ahead and obliterate the desires. According to the Gra, what's my avoda? The hisyaser beresen piv v'tavaso. My avoda for Moshe is what? Pull back the bridle. Pull back the bridle, right? Pull back the reins. Now what happens when you pull back the reins?
I'm saying,
the first step, right? The goal, obviously, is to try to get to a point where I'm not acting on it. But the first step, the crushing, so to speak, the crushing is, in other words, what's the first step of the crushing of the olives. Now I'll tell you something amazing. When you crush an olive, right? Ever crush an olive? Ever crush an olive? All the time. You must do that now for cooking?
Today?
Cooking?
A little bit.
Okay, right? Because I only want fresh ingredients. I don't want any store-bought stuff over here. Right? So I'll tell you something amazing.
Oil is made from scratch.
Good, excellent. The way I like it. Right? So here's what I would tell you is, when you crush an olive, right? What's the chap? The olive is still there. Right? The crushing doesn't obliterate the olive. But what does the crushing do? It changes the form to extract that which is most special. What does Kadosh Baruch Hu want of us? To crush the desires. What does it mean to crush the desires? The desires are gone? No. The olive's not gone. Right? The olive's not gone. The desires aren't gone. It's all here. But by crushing, which represents, again, the pulling back of the bridle, the pulling back of the reins, I'm able to extract my personalistic oil. That's the entire avoda of man. The entire avoda of man. See, he goes on and he explains about, say, this last part we could probably leave for this evening because I know the hour is late already. And I will say, but if we just bring this all together, I think that the Mechaber here is teaching us something absolutely amazing. And I will say, this is the tie-in to Hanukkah. Do you want to know why it is that on Hanukkah, why is there such a hyper-focus on oil? I'm going to be honest with you. I'll say, so a jug of oil burned for 8 days. So what? What do you mean, so what? That's a miracle? I don't know. Why is a jug of oil burning for 8 days any more miraculous than the fact that oil itself burns? Right? You take a liquid that comes from olives, you stick a wick in it, you ignite it, and suddenly it burns. How does that make any sense? So, you'll excuse me, but like, the same God who says that oil could burn for 5 minutes can say that oil could burn for 8 days. You'll see, I don't know, my miracle meter, it's not even moving. It's not even moving on this one, right? It's at rest. I'm not even impressed. I'm not impressed. Hashem Baruch Hu, you've done so many more incredible things, so many more wonderful things. I will say, there are two different types of miracles in this world. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about two different types of miracles. There are what we call utilitarian miracles and message miracles. Utilitarian miracles are miracles that are necessary to remedy a particular need. For example, we're standing by the banks of the Red Sea, the banks of the Yam Suf. The Egyptians are in hot pursuit, right? There's water in front of you, Egyptians in back of you. You split the sea. Why do you split the sea? Why?
You gotta get out of
there. You need to get out of there. That's utilitarian miracle. 3.5 million people in the desert, right? You need food. Man comes down from the heavens. Miracle. It's a necessary utilitarian miracle. It's what has to. We're gonna dive Ma'ariv in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Amir Hashem. Rosh, please come in and help yourself, please. He'll say so, right? So that's a utilitarian miracle. And then I will say there are other things called message miracles where the miracle is not necessary. The miracle did not do anything. It didn't help us. But there's a message in it. The Pach Shemen, the cruise of oil, you both say that is not a utilitarian miracle. I just want to point out, everyone says, oh, they only had one jug of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol, it was ritually pure. They needed to have ritually pure oil. They didn't need ritually pure oil. They could have kindled the menorah even with impure oil, because again, without getting into the technicalities, Tuma Hutra Betzibar, 51% of Chai Yisrael was already Tameh. They could have used impure oil. They didn't need pure oil. It's like telling you there's no tooth fairy, right? In other words, they didn't need pure oil. They would have been fine without the pure oil also. So why the miracle? Because it's a message. And what's the message? I will say, see, here it is. What is the message of the Pach Shemen? The message of the Pach Shemen is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to each of us, I need you to be like oil. I need you to be like oil. You have one job in this world that Kaddish Baruch Hu says to us, be like oil. What does it mean to be like oil? The only way to get oil is to crush, what is it? The only way to bake an egg is to bake a cake is to crack some eggs. Make an omelet, crack some eggs. Right?
Just
was that from Lenin? Stalin, excellent.
Can't make an omelet without
sugar. We're getting everyone in here tonight, right? Excellent. So let's scratch that one from the record, right? You can't bake a challah without cracking some eggs. That's it. Let's say, right? You can't light a menorah without crushing a couple of olives, right? You can't get oil without crushing olives. And I will say that is the entire message of Hanukkah. And what does it mean to crush olives? What does it mean to olives? What's the emphasis? That's this Shemen Zach Kasis Lama'ar. How do you get olive oil? The only way to get olive oil is to crush olives. And the same way you can only extract the oil if you crush the olives, that becomes our avoda in life. The avoda in life is to get rid of the barriers between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two barriers. There's the body barrier. Don't spend your life beating that one up and trying to take that one down. Keep it in check, but don't worry. Death takes care of that all by itself. The barrier I have to be concerned about are my taivas, are my desires. And I will say, those are the things that I have to crush. How do you crush it, says the Gra? Pull back on the reins. Pull back on the reins. And if you could pull back on the reins, crush that olive of desire just a little bit, you will extract the most magnificent, beautiful, luminescent, personalistic oil. That's our avoda. And I will say, think about this, just going into Hanukkah. First of all, what a difference when you look at the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. I will say, but this becomes our avoda. And here's what I would suggest, because again, one of the things we try to do is, right, give ourselves an avoda for each week. Maybe to think about one desire, because most of us have more than one negative desire, right? Don't tell me how many. I don't want to know how many. most of us have more than one negative desire. I will say, what do you think about the following? Choosing one desire, one area of life, and telling myself, this is going to be the area where when I find myself running towards it, I'm going to pull back the reins. Don't say you're going to do it for everything, because any time you ever say I'm going to do everything and anything, it usually never works. I'm going to choose one taiva, one desire. And by the way, I would tell you, it doesn't even have to be your most like intense desire. Maybe that's not even the right one to start with, right? Maybe it's a relatively minor desire that you really feel you could have a little bit of a handle on. Whatever it is, choose it. Say, you know what? This is the thing that when I get geared up and all excited and ready to go ahead and engage, this is where I'm going to crush that. I'm going to crush that. I'm not obliterate it. It's still going to be there, but I'm going to crush it. I'm going to stamp on it. It's still going to be there, but I'm going to crush it by pulling back on the reins. And I will say, if we could do that, think about if I could go from one area of life to the next area of life, one taiva after taiva after taiva, and little by little begin to pull back the reins. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop sinning. But I will say, you know what? There's something to be said when a person is overwhelmed with desire and they pull themselves back, you know, listen to this. If you pull yourself back and you stop, even if you sin 5 minutes later, you do it 5 minutes later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're incredible. Why? Because I'm about to say, the act of restraining yourself even for 5 minutes is a huge accomplishment. Because sometimes we contend with some pretty significant desires in life. And the ability to pull back on the reins, even if it only works for 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes later I'm doing the same exact thing, that's still an accomplishment. Choose one area of life, one desire. Start with a little one. Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the next time I start galloping towards that desire, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull back on the reins. I'm going to stop myself. I'm going to crush that olive. And just like when you crush the olives in the Beis HaMikdash, you get the oil, which kindles the menorah, which provides light. I'm going to crush that desire. I'm going to extract my personalistic oil. And I, too, will become a bit more luminescent. Jose, we'll stop over here for tonight.
Just don't make a nether.
What? Just don't make a nether. Just don't make a nether. That is true. That is true.
You gotta light the fire.
Or if you do,
that's the next step. That's the next step.
I'm saying crushing something. Just, I mean, you're left with you got olive oil. These are for luck. You cook with it. The key is the nace is what?
It's the kindle.
It's the fire.
But you need something to kindle.
I don't know.
Right?
It's a stormy rabbi.
Correct. Correct. It's just the start. It's just the start.
Somebody that has that person has that moment when they do that, then they can.